Good morning. Today's Daf Megillah Chav Tes. We're in Chav Ches Amud Beis. We are second wide line down. Masbidim Behen Hespeshel Rabbim. So again, here in the fourth parak of the Megillah, we are focusing on what you can and cannot do in a shul. Shul has kedusha. It's a makom mikdash. In fact, later on, we'll talk about how it's a mikdash ma'at. But shul has a level of kedusha, which means that it has to have a certain amount of decorum within a shul. Okay. I know this is a topic that we've been talking about for the last couple thousands of years, and obviously, it's something that needs encouragement and chizuk in terms of creating more decorum. But right now, we're going through the Gemara, and we're learning the halachas of what you can and cannot do within a shul. And how about eulogizing a shul? So the Mishnah said, and the Gemara now is going to comment on this, is that it's not the primary place to do hesbedim. You shouldn't be eulogizing a shul. Again, the shul is a makom tefillah, so it's not the place that really eulogy should occur. But there are a limited number of eulogies that occur that can occur within a shul. So what we learned in the Mishnah, that what you could do is you can do a hespeshel rabbim. You could do a eulogy that is, quote-unquote, a public eulogy. So what does that mean? So that's what the Gemara is going to discuss. So, hey, chidame hespeda de rabbim, machri Rav Chista could go hespeda de kai be Rav Shesha. So Rav Chista says, look, if let's say, for example, Rav Shesha was involved in a hesped. Rachman is a family member of Rav Shesha passed away. And so now, obviously, Rav Sheshes is going to be one of the Velim that's going to be at the funeral. So Rav Sheshes is the Mar Da'asra. He's a Gadol Hador. Everyone's going to be there. So that's considered public. So Machvi Rav Sheshes could go and Espeza Dekai Be Rav Chista. And Rav Sheshes reciprocated and he said, well, the same thing would be true regarding Rav Chista. Meaning if Rav Chista was involved in a funeral, that would be a Hespechel Rabbin. Rav from Aspa De La Kalte, Bevei Kanishta. Rav from actually made a Hespeid in Shul. For his daughter-in-law, and Amar Mishum Mikar Didi Udamaisi Udamisa Asukuleyama. He says, "Look, for my honor and the honor of my daughter-in-law, so everyone's coming. So therefore, it's a public event, and therefore, it can in fact take place in shul." Rabbi Zera Safta Lahumi Rabban Bebe Kanishta. Rabbi Zera gave a hesped for a particular Talmud Chacham in the shul. Amar Mishum Mikar Didi Mishum Mikara Didi. Demisa Asukole Alma. So once again, he said that, look, this is really it's a major hesped. It's either my honor or the honor of the mace. Whatever the case is, it's a major hesped. It's a quote-unquote public hesped, and therefore it could take place in the shul. Reish Lakish Shavtei Lahut Sorba Mirabanan Deshcheich Da'ar D'Yisrael. David Tidi Hilchasa B'Chavdal Shirasa. So Reish Lakish gave a hesped for a young Talmud Chacham. He frequently was in Eretz Yisrael. He had 24 rows of students. Amar Vai Chasar Eretz Yisrael. And he said, woe to the loss of Eretz Yisrael, that they lost such a Talmud Chacham. So the Gemara contrasted with a very similar story, but not the same reaction. So there was a person who learned. He learned a lot. He knew Sifrei. So those are the Medrash Halacha. It's always like going over this because it's just important for all of us to know. Sifra is the Medrash Halacha on Vayikra. In Sifrei, the Medrash Halacha, Bamidbar and Devarim. So he knew the Medrash Halacha. V'tosefta, v'shachiv, and Rachmanis, the person died. Asav Amar Leila Rav Nachman, Lisba Demar. So they asked Rav Nachman, Nu, are you ready to give him a eulogy? So we just learned in Eretz Yisrael how they eulogized somebody who had a lot of students. And they eulogized him in Shul, and it was a big deal. So now they asked Rav Nachman, so this person is also a tremendous Talmud Chacham, and are you ready to eulogize him? Now Rav Nachman's answer is going to be sharp. But getting a sharp answer from Rav Nachman is not uncommon. All right, we get a lot of that throughout Shas. So over here, his answer is going to be very sharp. Amar Heche Nifsedeg. So Rav Nachman says, really, what do you expect me to, what kind of eulogy do you expect me to give him? So Haitzana Damale Sifra de Chasar. So he's a basket full of books. I mean to say that, he knows a lot of information, but he doesn't know how to synthesize the information. He's not a... He's not Mishamish Talmid Chachamim. So, right, he compiled a lot of information, right? Rav Nachman accused the guy of being a compiler. So he compiled a lot of information, but he doesn't really understand it. So, okay, so that's Rav Nachman's response. And again, I know it sounds really sharp. And I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It's a really sharp comment regarding an individual. Okay, so Tachazi Ma Beit Kifa Dar Yisrael Chassid Debavo. So the Gemara now just notes, right? He just take a look at the last two stories that we went through, and a contrast. Meaning, in Bavel, the quote unquote Chassidei Bavel. So we could see what Rav Nachman's sharp criticism of an individual, and all they wanted him to do was just simply give him a hesped, and that's a chasid ebavel. Meanwhile, the tekife de Eretz Yisrael, the quote unquote tough people of Eretz Yisrael. So meanwhile, when it's time to eulogize somebody, so they give him a proper eulogy. Okay. So tenan hasam. Udi shamish betaga chalav. So anyone who uses, exploits the crown, so he's going to pass away. Okay, that's it's a mission of Pirkei Avos. It's in the first parak of Pirkei Avos. So tani Reish Lakish shamish be misha shona halachos. So and Reish Lakish says, as far as pshat in the Mishnah, so Reish Lakish, every time he goes to that Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, so his interpretation is that anyone who's mishamish atam chacham. So that's what it means when it says udi ishtamish betaga, somebody who uses a crown. Crown over here meaning a tam chacham. So anyone who makes use of a tam chacham, so that person is going to pass away. So and kitzur shel Torah, the Bach takes it out anyway. Ve'amar ula lishamish inish b'mande ni arba v'lo lishamish b'mande demasne arba'a. So let's say somebody learns four siddurim and shas. Okay, so that such a person you can use him, right? Make usage of that individual. But if he taught four siddurim and shas, so that's a different story. So there's a difference, a major difference between having learned it versus having taught it. So four siddurim, aren't there six siddurim? So of course the answer is yes, there are six siddurim of Mishnah. So why the Gemara over here is only referencing four? Because four were the ones that were commonly learned. Now of the four that were commonly learned, three of them we could figure out right away. And those are the practical ones. So Nashim, Nezikin, and Moed, so those are the ones that are practical, and those are the ones that were learned. Which ones is the fourth? So the fourth one is Kachim, right? So Kachim is the fourth one, because even though Kachim, now living in Bavel and having no longer Beis HaMikdash, so it is abstract, it's not practical, but nevertheless, the learning of Kachim is something which is an old, old tradition. Now, we know this because, just take a look at the Gemaras, meaning, what does the Gemara comment on? So the Gemara comments, meaning the Amorim of Bavel. So there's Gemara on three Siddurim, but there's also Gemara on the fourth Seder as well. Meaning there is Gemara on Seder Kachim. There is almost no Gemara on Seder Zerayim. There's almost no Gemara on Seder Taharos. One Masecht in Zerayim, one Masecht in Taharos. Brachos for Zerayim, needed for Taharos. So, but anyway, what comes out over here is that, in terms of mastery of Torah, so back in the day in Bavel, so mastery of Torah meant that you knew the four Siddurim really cold. Okay. So anyway, it comes out now that if somebody teaches the four siddurim, so that's somebody that you should not be mishtamish. Don't use such an individual. So kihad Reish Lakish hava azal ba'orcha. So the Gemara tells the following story. Reish Lakish was walking with somebody on the path. Mata urka madamayam. So they got to a stream of water. And it's not something you just simply put your feet in and walk through, but it was really deep. So asa hu gavra arkave akatfei. So this person now takes Reish Lakish and puts him right on his shoulders. And so therefore now he's carrying Reish Lakish through this water. So v'kama avrale. So Amalei Karisa, Amalei Karina. So Reish Lakish now, as he's riding on his shoulder, so they engage in conversation. I guess now would be an appropriate time to converse. Okay, sounds like it's a good time to get to know each other. So he asks him, "Nu, have you read Chumash?" He says, "Yep, I know Chumash." So Tanisa. So he says, "How about Mishnayos? You know Mishnayos?" So Tanisa, Tanina. So he says, "Yeah, I know Mishnayos as well." So Arba Sidre Mishnah. And not only that, but I know the four siddurim, meaning, okay, good. I'm holding by all four siddurim. So Amalei Pasalta Lecha Arba Turei. So you cut for yourself, you hew for yourself. So the four columns, right? By the way, Arba Turei, right? That's the that's where the Bala Turim got the name of his sefer. Meaning Argamar over here is making reference to the four columns of the siddurim. Again, there are six, but back in the day, mastery was four of the six. So, and then what the Bala Turim, the author of the Torah, right, the son of the Rush, so what he did is that he borrowed the term in order to describe the four sections of Shulchan Aruch. Okay, anyway. So so Pasal Telchar Beitur V'tante Bar Lakish Akatef, and now he says, this is terrible. Meaning, so now you're a Talmud Chacham. So you mastered the four Siddurim, and now I'm riding on your shoulders? That's ridiculous. So Shadi Bar Lakish B'maya. What you're supposed to do now with Reish Lakish, meaning me, is you're supposed to take me and throw me in the water. I shouldn't be riding on your shoulders. So Amalei Nichali Ashmin Lamar. So the person who was carrying Reish Lakish says Nichali. No, I'm happy. Meaning you are a major Talmud Chacham, and therefore I'm happy carrying you. So I hachi gamar minei hamilsa. So Reish Lakish says, okay, but I'm still really uncomfortable right now because you're a major Talmud Chacham. I shouldn't be riding on your shoulders, but if I teach you something, so then, okay, good. So then I'll be your Rebbe, and all this will be a little bit more comfortable for me. So allow me, please, to teach you something. So what does he teach him? He teaches him the halacha of Rebbe Zera. Dam Rebbe Zera, benoist Yisrael ha'in, echmin al-atzman, she'afil ha'roos tipas dam kechardol, yosho salav shiva nekiyim. So the halacha of Rebbe Zera, which is that benoist Yisrael, so they took upon himself the mchumra, that with any discharge, they're going to treat themselves like a zavagadola, in which they're going to require shiva nekiyim. They're going to have to count 7 clean days. So we're not going to go through all the halachas right now of a nida, of a zava, of the chumra. So Masechet Nida is where we're going to see this again, right? We saw this back in Brachos as well. Anyway, we will see this together in Nida, Mirza Hashem, and then in there in Nida, we'll go through this in much more detail. Anyway, the halacha Rebbe Zera, that's what he taught him. Okay.
He was married. He should have known this thing too.
Again, B'tkufas ha'amorayim. So at what point exactly did Rebbe Zera's din like take fully hold? So it could be that there was Rebbe Zera was Mechadesh, and it could have been just the beginning of the of this particular gzera. Okay. Tana de Bei Eliyahu, kol hashona halachos muftach lo shu ben olam haba. So anyone who's a shona halachos. So it's a term that we've been using a number of times recently, but in other words, you're really fully engaged in halacha, so you are going to be a ben olam haba. Right? That's more than just simply having a chelik in olam haba. Right? Kol yisrael yesham chelik olam haba, but over here to be a ben olam haba, which means that you have more real estate. Again, everyone here knows I don't fully understand what that means, but certainly, we can at least begin to grasp the idea. So you're a ben olam haba. Shenem alichos olam la, tikra alichos el alachos. Good, and with a complimentary drasha that gets to that conclusion. Tanu Rabbanan. We're now in the very top of Chavtas Amad Aleph. Mevalin Talmud Torah lo tzas ameis lachnasas kala. So obviously the primacy of Talmud Torah, to be engaged in the study of Torah, so that is a constant obligation that's upon us all the time. And yet what we're learning together is that you take time off for Talmud Torah for activities. What activities do you take off for Talmud Torah? So it's asa mesa achnasas kala. Now there, of course, you take off from Talmud Torah to do other mitzvahs as well. So obviously these aren't just a limited number of mitzvahs where you take off from Torah. However, the reason why, it's going to be clear, the reason why the Gemara is highlighting these particular activities is because it's really hard to gauge, meaning, let's do the first one, Otsas Ameis, okay, to escort the body from the funeral home over to the cemetery. Okay, so how many people need to escort? 5 people, 10 people, 100 people, right? And now I should be mevata my Torah so that I could be the 1,000th person who is going to be escorting, and the same thing could be said regarding Achnasas Kala. Right, Rashi describes Hachnasas Kala over here means to escort from her father's house over to the chuppah. So it sounds like we're talking about the second stage of marriage of Nisuin. Regardless, in other words, so again, same basic idea. So right now, the how many people at the wedding? 500 people at the wedding. Okay, so now I need to go. Right, nowadays we have invitation, RSVP, but you get the basic idea. In other words, so I have to take away from my Torah in order so that I should go. Okay, so that's exactly the point, meaning that it is a mitzvah to do so, and even though you're one of many, still you're going to be mevatel Talmud Torah. So Amar Lava Rabbi Yehuda Bar Elisha, I am mevatel Talmud Torah lehotzas ameis lachnasas kala. So they said regarding Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eli is that he was mevatel Torah so that he can engage in these activities. So the Gemara says, okay, but if there are enough people there, so then you don't have to be mevatel your Talmud Torah. So enough people, what does that mean, enough people? The Gemara's question. So the Kama Kol Tzarcha. So what does that mean, enough people? So Amar Shmuel Bar Ina, Mishmei Derav, Treisa Afei Gavre, Vishisa Afei Shipure. So the Gemara over here is talking about in the context of a funeral, meaning for a wedding, maybe it's the same numbers, I don't know. But for a funeral, however, so it's going to be a total of 18,000 people. 12,000 people there, 6,000 people blowing on the shofar, right, 12 plus 6, it's 18,000 people in total. So that's when you get to the requisite amount where it's considered enough. In the second version of what is considered enough, so it's going to be 12,000 in total, 6,000 without shofar, 6,000 with shofar, and ulamar kagon dechaitse gavre ma'avula at sechra. Ula gives us another version in terms of measuring the numbers. Basically, if you were to make a line, a chain of humans, from the town of Avula to the town of Sichra, So whatever that number is, that's going to be considered enough. And Rav Sheshet Amar, Kenisinasa Kach Netilasa. Now Rav Sheshet says that the Torah was given with, now we know the number, it's 600,000. Now it's more than 600,000. But in other words, that's the number we always use. So too, the same thing is true. That's in terms of Netila. When somebody's Neshama is taken away from his guf, in other words, he died. So it's the same number, 600,000. So Man Nesinasa B'Shishim Ribu, Af Netilasa B'Shishim Ribu. Okay. So now, according to a fourth version, it's 600,000. So there are various versions of what is considered enough, what is considered called sarcho. Either 18,000, 12,000, a line of people from one town to the other, or a total of 600,000. Now, that is considered called sarcho, which means now that once the funeral has that many people, so then you don't have to go. You don't have to be a mevatel Talmud Torah. Hani milaman dekar vitzini, the Gemara continues to qualify. That's talking about somebody who learned. Lamanda master, but somebody who taught Torah, Leslay Shiura, at that point in time, there is no number. No number is large enough to be considered called Sarcho, somebody who taught Torah. So there for the funeral, it can exceed whatever number that was given over here. What comes out now is that, so you're Mevatel Talmud Torah to go to a funeral. So we have two categories mentioned in the Gemara, somebody who learned, somebody who taught. So for somebody who learned, so there is a number, it's a rather large number. Four versions of what that number is for somebody who taught, there is no number. So Tosus points out over here, it's the second Tosus on our Amud, that there really is embedded in this a third category as well, and that is somebody who didn't learn. So somebody who didn't learn, so now, are you going to be Mevatel Torah in order to go to the funeral of somebody who didn't learn? So Tosus says, Kol Sarcho over here, the definition of Kol Sarcho is going to be much smaller. Meaning, so now there's no element of Kavada Torah to go to the funeral. Obviously, if it's somebody you know, somebody you were close with, you know, obviously there are other considerations, but in terms of just the simple question of should we close the base measure so that we go to the funeral for somebody who didn't learn Torah? So Tosafot points over there, the number is going to be significantly smaller. Okay, Tanya Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai Omer Borei Kama Chavim Yisrael Lifnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, the Gemara here quotes the Rashbi. Why are we mentioning it over here? Okay, not clear, but anyway. Doesn't matter. I mean, it has to do with shoals. But look how beloved the Jewish people are. So every place that the Jews went into exile, so Kadosh Baruch Hu went together with them. So in Shmuel Aleph, so in the very beginning, so it's reported that Kadosh Baruch Hu went down with us to Mitzrayim. Right, as one of the many answers to the question that 70 people went down to Mitzrayim, and you count it up, and they're not 70, they're 69. So who's the mysterious 70th? So it happens to be that pretty recently, so I think it was the Gemara in Tanis, right, so the mystery 70th is Yocheved, who was born Bein HaChomos. Right, I could be wrong about the Masechta, but anyway, that's one opinion. But another opinion is that the mysterious 70th is the Shechina. That's the mystery 70th. Anyway, but we have a pasuk over here that says that the Shechina went down with us to Mitzrayim, and Galul Bavo Shechina Mahem. And then when we went to Bavo, Shechina came with us as well. Shenemar Lamanchem Shalachti Bavela Va'afkeshein Atidin Ligal. And eventually, when we're going to be redeemed, Shechina Mahem, the Shechina is going to come with us as well. Shenemar Vishav Hashem Elokecha Eshivuscha Veishiv Lo Nemar Ella Vishav Malame Shakash Baruch Hu Shav Imahem in Bein Galios. So the Shechina is going to come together with us back to Eretz Yisrael. Meaning that the Shechina is with us. Okay, the Gemara asks a difficult question. When I say difficult, meaning difficult for me to understand. Meaning the Shechina, the Gemara is understanding as a concentration of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. Okay, to the best of my understanding. Now, the Gemara wants to know, where can I find the Shechina? Meaning it is concentrated and centralized in a location. So where is the Shechina? So Bebavel Hecha. Right. So where am I going to find the Shechina? In Bavel. So the Gemara actually identifies the location of the Shechina. So I'm Rabbi Bnei Kishta, Duhutzal, Ubnei Kishta, Deshafi Yasu Ben Arda. So he points to two shuls, one in Hutzal and the other one in the town of Narada. Okay, the one in Hutzal doesn't have a name. The one in Narada goes by the name of Shaf V'Yasev. And you can see Rashi over here for an explanation of what the name of that shul is. But anyway, so that's where you can find the Shechina. Now, velote mahacha v'hacha. Now, the Shechina is not located in two locations, but rather ela zimnan hacha v'zimnan hacha. Sometimes found in one location, sometimes it goes to the other location. It bounces between these two shuls. Okay, I can't help you much more, by the way. In other words, the Gemara's assumption over here that the Shechina is centralized in one location. Why these particular shuls? Okay, it's like, okay, obviously I'm extraordinarily limited in my understanding and my ability to explain. So Abaye says, look, Taisili, I deserve it. Meaning this is something that I should be commended for, that when I'm within a parsa of that shul, so I make it my business to go and daven by that shul because that's where the Shechina is. Okay. So both the father of Shmuel and Levi were in this shul in Naharda, and Asya Shechina. So the Shechina now comes, as we just learned together. That is one of the stopping points of the Shechina. So Shama Kol Riksha, come over Nafku. So when they heard the Shechina, so immediately they left. They didn't feel worthy to be in the shul at the same time as the Shechina. Rav Sheshes Aviyasa Bebekanisha Deshaviyasa Ben Arda. Gemara tells another story where Rav Sheshes now is in this very shul in Naharda. And now the Shechina, and along comes the Shechina of Alon Nafik. And Rav Sheshes doesn't take his cue, and Rav Sheshes doesn't leave the shul. Okay, quick reminder, Rav Sheshes was blind. We have a couple of blind Amoraim throughout Shas. Rav Sheshes, Rav Yosef. So Rav Sheshes was blind. An important detail in this particular story, as you will see in a moment. So also Malach HaSharetz v'kam v'asule. So the Malach HaSharetz comes now and is pushing Rav Sheshes out of the shul. Meaning right now, currently, the Shechina is here. So you don't belong here. Again, all this is really difficult to understand. One would think that if the Shechina is there, then you'd want to be there. But again, I don't know. Again, it goes to my limited understanding. I don't understand how the Shechina operates. So, okay. Anyway, so the Malachi Sharis are pushing Rav Sheshes out of Shul. So, Amr Lefan of Ribbono Shel Olam, Aluv V'Sheinu Aluv, Mi Nitchem Ibnei Mi. So, somebody who's Aluv, somebody who's downtrodden. So, and somebody who's not downtrodden. So, who do you have for more Rachmanis for? Obviously, you have to have Rachmanis for the downtrodden. Rav Sheshes is a blind person. So it behooves us now to have Rachmanis on Rav Sheshes. So he says to the Malach HaSharetz, don't push Rav Sheshes out of the shul. Rav Sheshes has every right and entitlement to stay within the shul. Amar Lahu, he says to them, Shefkuhu, leave Rav Sheshes alone. V'ei lahem l'mikdash ma'at, the pasuk in Yecheskel, describing a mikdash ma'at, a miniature based on mikdash. So Amar Rav Yitzchak bat Teknesus bat Medrash Shebabavo. So Rav Yitzchak says, I'd say this is pretty famous, Rabbi Yitzchak says that this is a reference to shuls and base medrashes that are found within Bavel. Rav Elazar Amar is they base rabbinish of Bavel. Somewhat less famous is the Shita of Rav Elazar. Not every shul is a mikdash ma'at. don't give yourself such a pat in the back. There is one shul that is a mikdash ma'at, notably the shul of Rav. His shul is a mikdash ma'at. The rest of them, not so much. Darish Rav Amay Dichsev Hashem Ma'on Ata Yisalanu. Pasuk in Tehillim, so you are a ma'on, you're a place of dwelling. So I live about the kinesis, about the medrashos. Again, a reference to shuls and base medrash. Amar Abai Merisha v'garsina bebeite umaslina bebe kinishta. Abai thought that, look, originally, I thought it would be most appropriate where the first thing I would do is I would learn at home, and then I would go to shul to daven, meaning shul is a place to daven, and home is a place to learn. That's what I thought. And then kevin to shmila de kamer daven. But then I really absorbed the pasuk in Tehillim. Hashem ahavti ma'on beisecha. So the HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a particular love for ma'on beisecha. So havi garsina bebe kenisha. So then I came to realize that learning in shul is a tremendous mila. And so I changed my schedule, meaning I went to shul, I went to go learn in shul. Tanya Rav Lazar kafer omer astina bebat kenesis bebat medrash shebebavel sheyikvu be'eretz Yisrael. Ultimately, all the shuls that are in all the base batim medrashim that are in Bavel are going to move to Eretz Yisrael. So shenemar ki ketavor baharim mechakamel bayam yavo. So pasuk in Yirmiyahu, and the Gemara deduces over here that the shuls are going to move. Now the pasuk that makes no mention of shuls, the pasuk simply describes mountains moving. Okay, so how do we get from mountains moving to shuls moving? So it's called the kal v'chomer. So as far as Tavor and Carmel, these mountains, so they came to go hear the Torah. So the Gemara over here is making reference to a Medrash. The Gemara here doesn't quote the Medrash, but we're all familiar with the Medrash. This is one of the more popular Medrashim, and that is by Mamad Har Sinai. So everyone came to hear and to experience Mamad Har Sinai, right? It was a seminal historical event. And so the mountains moved as well. So the so if these mountains moved over proximate to Har Sinai to hear the Torah, and that was just Lefi Sha'a, and that was just for just a moment in time, so Lomo Torah and Nikvaim Be'er Tisrael, so Bate Knesses, Bate Majosha, Shekorin, Marbitza Mem Torah, Alachas Kama V'Kama. So places where Torah is learned, so for sure it's going to move eventually and ultimately. Okay, so if the mountains move, so for sure the Bate Majoshim and the Bate Knesses are going to move as well. Darsh Bar Kapar, my dechsev, lama tirit sedun, harim, givnunim. So the Gemara is going to be quoting one more medrash as it relates to the other mountains in relationship to Har Sinai. Again, it's predicated on a medrash. We're all familiar that Har Sinai wasn't, quote unquote, the highest mountain, but nevertheless, it was chosen for Mam and Har Sinai. And the other mountains were not. And the Gemara here quotes the pasuk in Tehillim, and Yasa Baskal Va'amar Lahem, lama tirit sedun im Sinai. So Kadosh Baruch Hu is speaking now to the other mountains, and he says, look, don't litigate with Har Sinai. Kulchem bale mum ematem etzel Sinai. Everyone over here is considered a bal mum as a relative to Har Sinai. Ksiv hacha gavnu nim. So that pasuk in Tehillim has the word gavnu nim, and we know ksiv hasam, o giben odak. So giben odak is used in Parshas Emor as it relates to a bal mum. In other words, actual physical blemishes. So amr avashish mamina haimandiyar bal mum hu. So the Gemara says, so now, again, obviously, it's anthropomorphism, meaning we're giving some sort of human traits to mountains, right? Mountains, obviously, are just that. They're mountains. But nevertheless, lessons to be learned for us, meaning that the other mountains are arrogant. And what we learned together is that when you're arrogant, it's considered a Baal Mum. And that's exactly what the conclusion of Rav Ashi, meaning that if you're arrogant, so that's considered a Mum. It's considered an actual blemish. Is he saying it halachically? To what degree is he saying that? Unclear, right? There's no notation over here. No one brings this down to halacha. I mean, obviously, it only applies to, it only affects Kohanim and being a Baal Mum. But anyway, let's continue. Ein osin oso kapandria. We're in Chaf Ches Amud Aleph. We are towards the bottom of the Amud. And continuing now, the halachas of a shul, you cannot use a shul as a shortcut. The word kapandria is a funny word. And so what the Gemara would like to do is wrap its head around what the etymology of the word is. So my kapandria, amarav, kapandria kishma. So the Gemara says, well, just say out the word and you'll understand what it means. So my kishma, so the Gemara says, what does that mean? What do you mean, say out the word? So the Gemara goes on to explain, kamanda amar, ademakifna, adre eol baha. So I'm sorry, ademakifna adare eol baha. So you know what? We have two ways to get to our destination. Either we're going to go around all these houses or we can go through the house. Okay, so if shortcuts allow you to go through the house, obviously it's much closer, right? Closest difference, the distance between two points, everyone knows how that ends. So anyway, so good. So that's what it means. So the word kapandria is a contraction of that expression. Okay, so what we just learned together is that to use a shul as a shortcut to get from point A to point B, so you're not allowed to do so. So despite the fact that we learned that you're not allowed to do so, but under certain circumstances, you are allowed to do so. So the Gemara goes on to clarify, when are you allowed to do so? So let's say there was already an existing easement. So then under those circumstances, so even though they built a shul there, but if there already was an easement, so that easement continues to be a pathway for people to use. Number two. So number two, let's say you go in there because you wanted to daven. So under those circumstances, so you may end up using it as a shortcut, meaning, so you don't have to take into consideration that, look, I came in here to daven, but now as I leave, oh, you know what? It'd be helpful for me if I left the other in another exit. No, you're certainly allowed to do so because your primary purpose of going in there was to daven. And finally, v'amr abichal v'amr avuna, hanichlan sebeisik haknesus lehis palel. Now, in our Gemara, we have the word mutter. The Gemara changes it to mitzvah. And you'll see why that's significant in just a moment. Mitzvah lasosu kapandria. So let's say you go into shul to daven. So now it is a, let's say it like the Gra. It's a mitzvah to use it as a kapandria. What does that mean? It's a mitzvah. Shenemar, well, let's take a look at the pasuk over here. Gemara quotes the pasuk from Sefer Yechezkel. Uvevo am arsof ne'ashem b'mo'adim. So hava derech shar tzafon lishtachavos yatsa derech shar negev. So you know when you go into the Beis HaMikdash, so the way, the entrance that you go in should not be the same as the exit that you exit. Meaning that you should in fact take some sort of circuitous route so that you're leaving at a different point than when you come in. So that means to say that that's true, that Beis HaMikdash, it's also true by Shul as well. Meaning, so what you should do is that you should make a separate entrance from that which you come in. And that's what the Gemara is changing over here. In other words, with the word mitzvah, meaning that a thought process when you go into shul is that you go in one way, you should exit a different way, right? That's the mitzvah as understood over here. Okay, many shuls are not designed this way. Many shuls have basically same entrance, same exit. But if possible, if it's feasible, so it's certainly a consideration. It's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. I looked it up this morning. Okay, alu bo asavim lo yitlosh mimnei agmas nefesh. Now, if the shul's in ruins, so what you should do is that you should lay fallow. Right? Don't trim the weeds. And let the growth there. In other words, what's going to do is it's going to tug on people's heartstrings. People are going to see the shul in ruins. It'll inspire people to rebuild the shul. But in other words, but don't landscape the shul area if the shul's in ruins. So the Gemara quotes a Braisa. So the Braisa says that Eino Tolesh Umachel. So you should not pluck out the weeds in order to feed it to your animals. But what you could do is you could pluck out the weeds, but the only thing you could do is just leave it there. So So the Gemara says that's what our Mishnah meant as well. Meaning the Mishnah and the Braisa are really complementing one another. The Mishnah actually meant that one cannot be tolish umachel, but one can be tolish umeniach. Just like we talked about certain levels of decorum that a person should have in shul, same thing is true in a cemetery as well. So you should not have kalosh rosh, no frivolity in a cemetery. Ain mar in behem behema. Don't let your animals graze there. Ain molichem behem amasmayim. Don't divert a canal with some sort of water through the cemetery. Vehem malakdim behem asavim. And no landscaping as well. Okay. Vehem lekeit sarfam bimkamam. Now, any kind of landscaping that's done, so leave it there, meaning leave whatever weeds you cut on the premises, mimnei kavod amesim, and that you're going to be doing because of kavod ames. So the Gemara says the ending of that brisa was really awkward, right? Don't landscape, and if you landscape, so leave it there because that's kavod ames. So the Gemara says what? That ending was strange. So ahaya. So that last explanation of the brisa, mimnei kavod ames, what's it going on? Elam asefa kevin shesor from bimkoma my kavod amesim ika. Well, you're going to burn the weeds right there on the cemetery, and that's kavod ames. So the Gemara says no. So ela aresha. No, the explanation of mivnei kavod ames is going back to the beginning of the brisa. When the brisa says that you can't have kalos arosh in the cemetery, it's because of kavod ames. Okay. We are halfway through the daf. We are at the Mishnah on the bottom of the Amud, and now after many many midrashim that we just went through in the Gemara regarding a shul and the proper decorum in the shul. So now we go back to the Parshios of the week. Okay, something we all know, just giving the proper background over here, and that is that for every Shabbos, so we read from the Torah. We operate with a schedule so that we're going to conclude the Torah every year. So in Eretz Yisrael, you're going to see this a little bit later on this morning. So in Eretz Yisrael, so they wouldn't do it on an annual cycle, but they would break up the Parshios much smaller. So it took them 3 years in Eretz Yisrael to finish the entire Torah. Okay. An old minhag, which we no longer have. But whatever, regardless. The point is that we have a section of the Torah that we read. It's the Sedra of the week. Okay, good. And the Gemara Brachos talks about how we should be reviewing it every week. Shtai Mikra, Echa Targum. Anyway, that we all know. We also know that there are going to be a couple Shabbosim in the year, more than a couple, several Shabbosim in the year, where it's a special Shabbos. So a special Shabbos where we're going to be replacing the regular Sedra. Now, I say replace the regular Sedra. So we're going to see the Mishnah in a moment together. Where that's a simple understanding of the Mishnah, that the regular Sedra gets replaced with the special Shabbos. Okay, happens to be that we all know, we don't exactly replace the Sedra. What we do is we replace the Haftorah. Okay, so, as we're going to see a little bit later on this morning, a machlokus amongst the Amoraim, exactly what replacement means. One position is that replacement means we actually replace the Sedra. It admittedly, by the way, it's going to be a bit of a challenge because we still need seven aliyahs on Shabbos, meaning seven aliyahs on Shabbos is a given. So when your sedra is so small, let's say, for example, Parsha Shkalim. So when your sedra is so small, you're going to be making seven aliyahs out of it. And the answer is yes, we'll figure it out. The Gemara figured out how to make four aliyahs out of it. And that was a bit of a struggle. Okay. We'll somehow figure it out. But so there's special Shabbosim of the year, where the regular Sedra gets replaced with a special Parsha. So we know, and the Mishnah over here is going to point out, that there are four. Now, I'm going to say they're consecutive parshios. They're not exactly consecutive. There's a bit of a break between them, but they're basically four consecutive parshios where there's going to be a special Shabbos. We're going to replace the regular Sedra, our regular scheduled program, with special programming for that Shabbos, as it is related and thematic to the time of the year that we're in. Okay, it happens to be that as we just started Shvat, so we're not that far away, but it's an Ibur Yar, so we got a little bit of time, though, before we get to the Dal Parshios. Anyway, so that's where the Mishnah begins. Mishnah. Rosh Chodesh Adar Shechalios B'Shabbos. So when Rosh Chodesh Adar falls out on Shabbos, go Karin B'Parsha Shkalim. So now what we're going to do is we're going to read from Parsha Shkalim. So Chalios B'Socha Shabbos. Now let's say Rosh Chodesh occurs during the week. So Makdimim L'Sha'avar. So when are we going to read Shkalim? So we'll read it the previous Shabbos, the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh. Umafsikin L'Shabbos Acheres. That means now that the next Shabbos we're going to be on break from the special Shabbos. And what we'll do is that we'll do the regular Sedra. Ubishniya Zachor. Now, week number two, Shabbos number two is going to be Parsha Zachor. Bishlishas Paraduma, Berevi Zachor Shazalachem. Okay, so those are the four special Parshios. And Bechamish is Chosen Lechisidron. And now by week five, so what we do, we return back to our regular schedule programming. So Lechom Mafsikin, so you're going to be Mafsik. Berosh Chodesh, Bechanak of Apurim, Betanis of Amamados, Uvi Yom HaKippurim. So, Rosh Chodesh, or Chanukah, or Purim, or fast days, public fast days, or Ma'amados, or Yom Kippur. So, we are going to be taking out the regular scheduled program, and we're going to go with our special programming, meaning our special laning for that particular day. Now, it says Yom Kippur, so Tosa says that over here we're talking about Mincha of Yom Kippur. Because over here the common denominator is that we're talking about the occasions in which we're reading three aliyahs. Obviously, Yom Kippur in the morning, we're doing a lot more than three aliyahs. We're doing six aliyahs. So it means that on the occasions where we're doing three aliyahs, so on any of these days, so you break from the regular schedule and you go to the special Kriyas HaTorah. Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, Purim, in other words, exactly what we do. Meaning, we all know, if Purim falls out on a Monday or on a Thursday, so we're not going to be reading from the Sedra, we're going to be reading from the Laning of Purim, etc., etc. Tanan Hasam. We are... on the very bottom of the Amud, we start with the Gemara. This is a Mishnah. Becha ba'adar mashmil mal shkalim. V'al ha'kalayim. Now, this is a Mishnah in Shkalim. In fact, it's not just a Mishnah in Shkalim. It's the first Mishnah in Shkalim. So, on the first day of Adar, so what do? You make announcements. Two announcements specifically on the first day of Adar. One, everybody has got to give a machzis a shekel. Two, everybody's got to get rid of their kalayim. So, unfortunately, bezman hazeh, so neither apply. We don't give the machitzis a shekel nowadays, and we don't, right? Most of us are not worried about kalayim. But back in the good old days, when there was a base of mikdash, and even when there wasn't a base of mikdash, kalayim certainly applied, but when there was a base of mikdash, so obviously you had to make a collection because of the operating fund in the base of mikdash. We've gone over this numerous times. So there is an operating account in the base of mikdash, and there's one collection a year, and that is in the month of Adar, where everybody is required to give a machitzis a shekel. And so those funds are going to be collected, and that's for operations. So the operating costs in the Beis HaMikdash are all the animals that are purchased for the karbanos, together with the wine, the flour, the oil, et cetera, et cetera. And then we spent an entire Masechta talking about what to do with all the surplus money, if in fact there is surplus. Okay, good. That's called Masechta Shkalim. So for the accounts out there, for all the executive directors out there, right? Shkalim is the Masechta for you. So, but anyway, but for as far as the Mishnah is concerned, so we learned together that this pronouncement is made in the beginning of Adar. So, Bishlam ala klaim des manzriya hi. So, I understand why it's timely for klaim, because that's when everything starts growing. So, ela al hashkalim minalam. But it's also the right time for shkalim. So, the Gemara says, yes, it is, absolutely. Now, we already know this because we saw this in shkalim time and again, but we get to see it now in our Masechta right here in Megillah. So Amar Rav Tevi, Amar Rabbi Yoshi, Amar Kraus, Zosol is Chodesh Bechacho, Amar Torah Chadesh Vahavei, Karban Mitchum Chadasha. Vekevin Debenisan by Ikruve Mitchum Chadasha, Kadmin Vekarinan Be'echad Be'adar Kihechad Elesi Shkalon Mikdash. Okay. So a point that we know already, we've gone over numerous times, we get to go over it again right now, and that is that the first day of the fiscal year in the Beis HaMikdash for operations is the first day of Nisan. So so being that we need now the new monies to be there on the first day of Nisan. So 1 month in advance on the first day of Adar. So we're telling everybody, new, it's time. right? It's collection time. So for the month of Adar, we're collecting, and the month of Nisan is when we're actually using the new monies, right? Any carbon that is used from day one of Nisan has to be purchased with new monies, okay? On a number of occasions, we talked about if they're surplus from the previous year, is there a way of rolling that money over to the new year? Okay, not for now. Anyway, Kamanda lo k'Rav Shimon Gamliel. So the Gemara now assumes that this halacha that we're starting to collect on the first day of Adar is not like Rav Shimon Gamliel. Which Rav Shimon Gamliel? De'i Rav Shimon Gamliel ha'amar shei shabasos t'tanya. Now Rav Shimon Gamliel says that the amount of time that you prepare for a yantiv is 2 weeks. Sholem ba'alachas ha'pesach kodol ha'pesach sholshem yom. Rav Shimon Gamliel ha'amar shei shabasos. A machlok is that we've gone over numerous times throughout Shas, and that is that how long should you be preparing for Pesach? Either a month or 2 weeks. So Tanakhama says a month, or Shimon Gamliel says 2 weeks. So the Gemara assumes right now that that 2 week preparation is also going to inform us regarding when is the appropriate time to start collecting the Shkalim as well. So Afilu Tim Rishim Gamliel came and Amar Mar Bechamisha Sar Bo Shulchanus Yoshim Bimedina Vechafe Yoshim Bimikdash Mishim Shulchanus Kadminan Vekarinan. So the Gemara says no, even according to Rishim Gamliel, even though his prep time is only 2 weeks, but 2 weeks could still land us on the first day of Adar. How is that so? Because that we know the Shulchanos go out, the Shulchanos are the money changers. So they go out on the 15th of Adar. So there is a critical time right on the 15th of Adar where the Shulchanos are going out. Therefore, 2 weeks before, that's going to be the first day of Adar. So that first day of Adar day can even work according to Rav Shimon Gamliel. Okay, my partial Shkalim. And so today, we conclude with today's daf with a really simple question. We know there are four special partials. We know the first of the special partials is Parsha Shkalim. Here's what we're not sure of. What part of the Torah do we read? Meaning we are going to be leaving the regular weekly Sedra in order to read a special Parsha in the Torah. So which Parsha are we going to read? So everyone over here is wondering to themselves, we know the answer, it's Parsha's Kisisa, right? We do that every year. Okay, just to be mildly observant, so we know it. So we know it, but from the Gemara's perspective, it was subject to a machlokas. In other words, we happen to go with one of the opinions, but the Gemara over here records a machlokas on this very issue. So Rav Amar Tzavitz Bnei Yisrael Amar Talam Es Karbani Lachmi. So Rav says you go to Parshas Pinchas and you read from Parshas Pinchas that deals with the Karban Tamid. And Ushmul Amar Kisisa. And Shmuel says, no, we're reading from Parshas Kisisa. Now, one of those interesting phenomena where we pass on like Shmuel over that of Rav, generally speaking, when it comes to Mamnos, we pass on like Shmuel. When it comes to Issa Vehetta, we pass like Rav, right? I would have guessed over here that this is more in line with Issa Vehetta, right? So literally, you read my mind. Now, it does have to do with money, but okay. Hold that thought. It's coming up. So, Bishlam Laman Damakisi Sahina Dekarele Pasha Shkalim Dechsev Bashkalim. So the Gemara says, look, right, Parsha Shkalim obviously has to do with money. Kisisa mentions a collection of money. It sounds much more thematically appropriate. So the Gemara says, Elamanda, I'm right, Karbani Lachmi, take out the word Hacha. Midi Shkalim Ksiv Hasam. So, right, the Parsha, the Karban Tamid. There's no mention of money over there. So the Gemara says, In Taima Kidirab Tevi. So the Gemara says, yeah, no. Meaning, you're right, there's no mention of money, but it is a mention of the Karban Tamid, and we just learned the drush of Rabbi Tevi. Go to the top of our Amud. The drush of Rabbi Tevi is that the first carbon of the year, meaning first carbon of the year, is the first day of Nisan, so that's when you need to bring it from the new money. So even though the word money is not used, but the drusha there gets us to that halacha, is coming from the Parsha of Tamid. Okay, so that's why it is also appropriate, thematically appropriate. Bishlam laman d'amitzav es b'nei Yisrael mishum d'ksiv karbanos. So hasam k'drab tevi. So the Gemara says, look, I actually now I'm going to make a stronger argument for Rav, that it should be the Karban Tamid because that's in reference to Karbanos. But Elaman Dharma Kisisa, Karbanos Miksiva. But you notice in Parshas Kisisa, there is a mention of collection, but there's no mention of Karbanos. So the Gemara says, Shkalim La'adanim Ksive. In fact, you know what the collection of the Shkalim were in the beginning of Parshas Kisisa? So those are the silver coins which are going to make the silver sockets for the Mishkan. That has nothing to do with Karbanos. So the Gemara says, that's not accurate. It does have something to do with Karbanos. So, Kidini Rav Yosef, Shal Shetrumasain, Shal Mizbech, Lemizbech, Vishal Adanim, Ladanim, Vishal Bedek Abayis, Abedek Abayis. actually, there are three collections. And if you read the Parsha carefully, Rashi goes through it here. I'm not going to go through the Rashi inside. But if you read the Parsha carefully, you're going to see embedded in the Parsha are three collections. One, in fact, is for the Adonim. The other is for the Karbanos. And there's a third collection, which is for just general temple upkeep, Bedek HaBayis. And Rashi points out over here, that's not a fixed number, meaning that's whatever anyone and everyone wants to offer. But anyway, but the point is that yes, even in Kisisa, there is a reference of collection for carbon. Bishlam lamanda amar Kisisa hainu deshani, hai rosh chodesh mishar rosh chadashim. So the Gemara says, look, the position of Kisisa makes a lot of sense. Because man ishana rosh chodesh zeh mishar rosh chadashim, so it's a different leaning than any other rosh chodesh. But elamanda amar tzav is carbon, mai shani. So the Gemara says, but if you hold like Rav, that Parsha Shkalim is the Parsha of Rosh Chodesh, so now, what do I read in regular Rosh Chodesh? So Parsha's Rosh Chodesh. What do I read in Parsha Shkalim? Also Parsha's Rosh Chodesh, and it doesn't deviate whatsoever. And we know there's a deviation because remember what we learned in the Mishnah just minutes earlier? We learned in the Mishnah that if Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos, so I'm going to read the Parsha of Shkalim. That's the same as the Parsha of Rosh Chodesh, according to Rav. So the Gemara says, no, it's different. Shani Dila Rosh Chodesh and Kari Shisa Binyan Adiyuma V'chad B'de Rosh Chodesh. So, no, because what's going to happen is that if it were just a standard Rosh Chodesh that falls out on Shabbos, so you know what we do? We read six aliyahs from the regular Parsha, one aliyah from Rosh Chodesh. That's what we do. But V'ilu Ha'ina Kula B'de Rosh Chodesh. So, but now what we're going to do is we're going to read just Rosh Chodesh, meaning right now, remember, I foreshadowed this when we did the Mishnah. So right now, we're assuming that on the special Shabbos Kriya of Shkalim, it's a total replacement. We take out the Sedra altogether, and we replace it with now the Parsha of Rosh Chodesh. Let me say, I'm just a small edit, the Parsha of Shkalim, which, according to Rav, happens to be the Parsha of Rosh Chodesh. But it's different, though, because we're not reading from the Sedra at all. We're just reading the parsha of Rosh Chodesh. So Hanich Lamanda Amar L'Seder Parshas Uchozer Lamanda Amar L'Seder Aftaros Uchozer UParshas Yuma Karina Maishani. So the Gemara says, yeah, but not everybody agrees that it's a full replacement. In fact, there are some opinions, and by the way, this is how we hold that the parsha remains, and for Parsha Shkalim, it's the Haftorah that's going to get replaced. So now I ask you. So now, according to you, Rav, how is this Shabbos going to look any different than a Shabbos Rosh Chodesh? So the Gemara says, Shani Dila Rosh Chodesh and Karashisa Binyana Diyuma V'chad Kari B'de Rosh Chodesh V'ilu Ha'ina Kari Talsa Binyana Diyuma V'arba'a Kari B'de Rosh Chodesh. So the Gemara says, no, even if we're not fully replacing the Sedra, we're reading the Sedra, still it's going to be different. On a standard Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, it's six aliyahs from the Sedra, one aliyah from Rosh Chodesh. On Parsha Shkalim, according to Rav, even though the Parsha Shkalim is Rosh Chodesh, but it's going to be three from the Sedra, four from Rosh Chodesh, meaning from Shkalim. Meisve, let's do this one more time. Meisve, Rosh Chodesh, Adar Shechalos, B'Shabbos, Korn, B'Parsha Shkalim, Ma'maftirun, B'Yehoyadah HaKohen. So here in the Braisa, so we are going to be reading from Parsha Shkalim. Okay, so again, what is that? Right now we're in the middle of a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. But the Haftorah over here identified the Haftorah Yoyada Kohen. That Haftorah, which in fact we do read on the Parsha of Shkalim, so that has to do with basically making a pushka in the base of Mikdash so that people can collect. So Bishlam Lamanda Makisisa Hainu Demaftir Yoyada Kohen. Didamile Dichsiv Kesed Nefashos Arko. So I certainly understand how if the Parsha of Shkalim is the Parsha of Kisisa, so it's thematically connected. It's a great connection. So the Gemara says, but if you're insisting like Rav, that the Parsha of Shkalim is Karban Ilachmi, the Parsha of Karban Tamid, so I don't understand how you're going from Karban Tamid to a collection box in the base of Mikdash that was set up by Yoyada Kohen. What's the connection? So the Gemara says, we all know this because this is now, I think, the third time we're saying it today. So the Gemara says, Dami Kid Rabbi Tavi. So the Gemara says, no, it's connected. Because of the drasha of Rabbi Tevi, that encoded, embedded within the parsha of the Tamid, is also the idea that you need to collect the money for the carbon Tamid. Okay. Meisve, we're going to pause over here. Okay. It's a funny place to pause, but we're in the middle of the machlok, because the Gemara is going to go on for this for a little bit longer. Okay, so let's quickly recap our daf today. We started off our daf today with a number of drashas, most of them relating to the decorum in the Beis HaMikdash. The Kedushas Beis HaMikdash and the amount of the amount of kavod that we're supposed to have while in the Beis HaMikdash. We talked also this morning about being Mevatel Talmud Torah for Hotzas HaMeis, for Hotzas HaMeis and Achnasas Kala. We talked about what is considered a sufficient number for Hotzas HaMeis. Talked about people who learned Torah, talked about people who taught Torah. Okay. But the first half of today's daf focused around the proper decorum that you'd have in shul, the idea that the shul is a mikdash ma'at, the idea that there's a shechina that is located thereabouts. Where exactly is the shechina? Gemara this morning gave pinpoint accuracy in terms of where you're going to find the shechina. When the shul has a shechina, what should be the proper reaction? What should be the proper response? Okay. And then on the Amud Aleph, we concluded today with that the shul's in ruins, so you should let the shul basically grow wild so to encourage people to rebuild the shul if in fact we have the requisite funds to do so. Okay, and then the second half of today's daf, so we focused on the Dalat Parshios. As we get to Rosh Chodesh Adar, so over there what we're going to be doing is we're going to be reading from four special Parshios in which it's going to replace the regular Sedra. What does that mean, replace? So we just saw in the Gemara, Machlokis. Mm-hmm. Either it's a replacement of the Sedra or it's a replacement of the Haftarah. Obviously, we adopted the position where it's a replacement of the Haftarah, not a replacement of the Sedra. But there is a pshat in the Gemara. There is a sheet in the Gemara that we're actually replacing the Sedra. What are the Dalat Parshios? And what is a Kriya for the first of the Dalat Parshios for Parsha Shkalim? Machlokis, Rav, and Shmuel. And right now, we're in the middle of litigating which of these two shitas makes more sense, so to say, which is a better fit in terms of the Parsha Shkalim. Adkar.